Recording again. There we go, I think. All right, so I guess we'll just go ahead and start. Hi, May. State,
hello.
Time, and date, and the location.
Yes, I'm currently Yuma, Arizona. The time, it's 4:03. And it's May 10. Fun fact, it's Mexican Mother's Day. Since the U.S., yeah, that explains something to you?
Yeah, I've been seeing, like, people with, like, stands where they've got, like, little baskets of, like, teddy bear, like, pink teddy bears and other pink little things. And I'm just like, it's not Valentine's Day. What's going on? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a huge thing. Mexican Mother's Day is always the 10th, so. And I know in the U.S. it's the first Sunday, right?
Yeah, just this past Sunday, yeah. all right, you already said your name, so I suppose we can do the next question. What are the primary things you do on a day-to-day basis?
Yes, good question. I'm a teacher, so I teach U.S. history, high school students, specifically sophomores here in the state of Arizona. And that's basically what I do all day. I mean, from 7:30 to 2:30 p.m., I'm in the classroom session, planning time, do some grading, assignments, quizzes, activity, essays, all the good stuff, and try to present the historical narrative of the U.S. to high school students. Yeah, I think that's about it.
All right. Nothing outside of your work? Like, what do you do when you get home?
Yes. So I have a golden retriever. As soon as I get home, she's really nitty. Her name is Leah. Just take her for a walk. And after that, probably get a meal, go to the gym, get some weights, get back and focus on grad school too, right? And not only that, but I also coach basketball. Right now we're not during the season. We're about to get started on off-season conditioning, strength and conditioning. Get some tournaments and games for the student athletes. So during November / all the way to January, February, it's a challenge because I have to navigate a full-time job and then coaching and then school. So it's demanding. That's a little bit about what I do, extracurricular activities.
Okay. Next one is, where do you live and what is it like to live there?
Fun fact, I was born in Yuma, Arizona, but I never lived here. I just moved back probably like a year ago. I was raised in Mexico, specifically Mexicali. It's just an hour away. So fun fact about Yuma, 30 minutes, we get the border and you have San Luis, there's Rio Colorado, Sonora. That's the state of Sonora, Mexico. And 1 hour away from Yuma, you have another border town city, which is called Calexico. And then Mexicali of the state of Baja. Really famous in the last couple of years. I don't know why. Anyways, so we get the given names, right? Mexicali and Calexico, California ends, Mexico starts, Mexico ends, California starts. So, and Yuma, I don't know. I just experienced living here for the past 4 months. I just purchased a home. And it's really interesting. I mean, because I come from a border town in Yuma, it's 30 minutes away from the border, but at the same time, you don't see that huge, I mean, yes, we have a huge amount, a percentage of Hispanic population, but I see it more in San Luis, the border town, than actually in Yuma. So I don't know. I think it's fun. It's about 100,000 people, 2 hours away from Phoenix, Arizona. And it's been good. I really appreciate the time here.
All right. When did you first learn about COVID-19 and what were your thoughts about it?
Yes. I mean, like, I'm assuming as everyone, right? Like 2 years ago, we see all this news coming from China and Europe. And I was actually an avid tutor back in the day. I was a senior in college and we're just talking about it even in the classroom session with students. Like they were all scared about, oh, you think COVID is going to come to the States? And I was like, you never know. It's an epidemic. We have a huge historical events of epidemic disease that have traveled across the globe. So you never know. Might happen. And I was not really scared about it, but the moment, you know, they sent us all to work from home, I was like, oh, things are getting serious now. And yeah, I was conducting tutoring online. Same thing with the high school students, but back in Calexico. And it got to the point that this is gonna stay for a while. So we stayed at home for like a year, and we had to adapt and work from home remotely, and gotta keep going. That's just the way life is, fortunately or unfortunately.
And then I guess, have your thoughts about COVID changed since then?
Yes, right now we have to live with it, right? To try to avoid it. thank God we have vaccines and we are cleared to go back to work. Masks are, here, at least here in the state of Arizona, and I'm assuming most of the US, masks are optional nowadays. And my perception is that we have to live with it. Unfortunately, it's just the way it is, and we got to keep going to work, and we got to keep, you know, living and throughout this epidemic disease. And it's welcome to the new reality, I guess.
Fair enough. how has the COVID-19 outbreak affected how you associate and communicate with your friends and family? In what ways? Basically, how did it affect you communicating with your friends and your family?
Well, back in the day, it was more difficult because of the pandemic. We had to sit at home and be socially responsible about it. But right now, at this moment, 2022, I don't think, at least for me, it's a huge deal. I mean, I'm able to go to work and be with my students 100% in the classroom session. I'm able to coach sports and communicate with my family. I don't have grandfather, grandma, mom at the time, but I mean, my uncles are pretty old. They're like in their 70s and 80s, and I can communicate with them, go to their house, see how they're doing. And with family and friends, it's just like, not really that, like COVID never really happened, but we're able to see each other again physically rather than having to do it online.
All right. What were the biggest challenges that you faced during the COVID-19 outbreak?
Well, the first will be that I was sent home to work remotely. And that was good till, I mean, my position as an advocator was temporary in the sense that it was just throughout that year. And unfortunately, like millions of people across the states, I lost my job. And I was in unemployment for like a year. I felt really upset, but that also gave me an opportunity to focus on grad school too. so I saw the bright side of it. Okay, I'm not at a job right now full-time or part-time, but at least I'm focusing in school. And that kept me in the sense, you know, to be motivated to accomplish a goal. And I'm almost done. Just need this class, another course, and I'll take the capstone. Yay. But going back to the question, I couldn't coach. I love coaching basketball. I coach for like, what's it called? Is it 7, 8 years now? I think it's 8 years now, but I've been coaching high school basketball. And well, we couldn't go back to school regularly, right? So I couldn't coach and see my former high school students. And that's another part-time job that I lost too. And yes, I mean, from an economic standpoint of view, it was difficult, but I survived, and I'm assuming millions of you people in the U.S. have survived, and we are thankful for it, right?
Yeah. How did the people around you respond to the pandemic?
Well, my parents, not so well in the sense that they're old. I mean, my dad is 71 years old. My mom is 64. So they were scared, right? Because they're considered seniors. And they didn't want me to go outside and, you know, get COVID because I was at home with them, living with them. So it was more about them because I'm 25. So it was to be a little bit more responsible in that sense of taking care of my parents that they're seniors. And yeah, try to stay at home, just go for necessities, grocery shopping, come back home, stay at home and be socially responsible.
I get that. Is there a specific pandemic related memory that stands out to you? If so, could you share it with me?
Yes, absolutely. So I love working out, right? I mentioned I go to the gym. And unfortunately, fitness facilities were closed. So, I mean, I purchased some dumbbells online and elastic bands and try to work out from home at least an hour. So I'm really huge in weightlifting, but unfortunately, well, I don't have access to those fitness facilities. And I didn't went all crazy, purchased a lot of home equipment, but I think it was fun to work out at home and make like my little gym at my parents' home house. So yeah, I think that's a cool memory about working out at home.
So I guess now looking into the distant future of post 2022, knowing what you know now, what do you think that individuals, communities, or governments need to keep in mind?
We had to follow the rules and procedures from, what's it called? I forgot the word. Medical professionals.
Yes.
And be on the lookout for whatever news, whatever information is coming out from those professionals to keep us healthy in the near future, because epidemics throughout history come and go, right? And I'm pretty sure we're probably going to have more next couple of years, but throughout the history of humanity, we're going to have more. So that will be something to really consider and practice, you know, all these rules and procedures from healthcare professionals.
Sounds like a good idea to me. are there any other questions? I think it's either you're asking me or something like that. I can't remember.
No, we're good. I think we can pause and then start with you for the next interview.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.